Yeah, I don't want to be in this closet all the time and this goo. Give me this goo, you jerk. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we're going to talk about a Y Combinator startup who wants to give you a brainectomy. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not surprised this exists. I'm a little surprised it's a Y Combinator startup.
I guess I'm not surprised. I'm a little bit revolted, but
yeah,
that's just old fartism, I think. Like this, I mean, it's easy to imagine a sci-fi future where this is a normal thing.
Yeah.
So, geez, I guess this article cropped up about a week ago. At least that's when it hit my radar.
Yeah.
Oh, we should actually do a little housekeeping first.
Yeah, we should, because we didn't do an episode last week.
Yes. Yes. Sorry about that, dear listener. We missed you, but we had life things happening.
Yep.
I don't remember what they were, but it was a lot of them.
We had in-law things happening.
Ah, of course. Yeah. That must have been fun.
Yeah, it went well, actually.
Good. Well. That's good. So we missed last week, and this week is episode 15 of season 6, I think we're on.
I believe we are, yes.
Yeah, so that means that this is going to be the last episode of this season. We'll take our traditional about 6 weeks off and come back with a book club episode.
Yes.
So, dear listener, if you would like to read along and, you know, we've given you 6 weeks, so you have no excuse to read up on the book that we're both reading now, and you can sort of join in the conversation or not, but definitely if you don't read it, skip that episode, because we will surely ruin the book for you.
Yes, we will. We will. And I suppose this means I can't wait until week 5 and start it myself. I will need to go ahead and do that.
Right. So what book did we select, Kelly?
We selected Altered Carbon. The author's name escapes me and I do not have it open in front of me.
Richard K. Morgan. And it is, they sort of had us at hello when we read that it was a
cyberpunk noir.
Cyberpunk noir, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And
yeah, like I'm in.
Right. Like how can you not like that? So here, we'll give you a quick summary, because this won't ruin anything, and hopefully we'll get you excited enough about the book to join in. Here's a publisher summary. In the 25th century, humankind is spread throughout the galaxy, monitored by the watchful eye of the UN. While divisions in race, religion, and class still exist, advances in technology have redefined life itself. Now, assuming one can afford the expensive procedure, a person's consciousness can be stored in a cortical stack at the base of the brain and easily downloaded into a new body, or sleeve, making death nothing more than a minor blip on a screen. Cool. So this obviously ties into common topics that we bring up on the show, and in fact, is almost
today's
identical
topic.
Right, to today's topic. So we thought this would be a good note to kind of leave the season on, and then we can all read this book and then come back and let everyone know what we thought.
Yes, and I believe this is also a Netflix series, though I have not watched it, and I don't know how closely. I don't know if that's a retelling of the book or if it's just something set in the same universe.
Yep, I did double check. It is, and I believe it's out. It's not.
Yeah.
I think it's a Netflix original, and it is available to watch, but I'm going to hold off on that until after the book.
Same. They keep recommending it to me, but once I saw that it was a book, I decided I would wait and read the book first.
Mm-hmm. All right. So there's this startup.
There's a startup.
Whose product is 100% fatal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
makes me want to go out and buy it.
Yeah, it's a tough sell, you'd think. But they had 25 people so far pay $10,000 each to sign up on the waiting list for this 100% fatal product.
Presumably, you can just like redeem at time of death. They're not going to come to your house and kill you.
Correct. Yeah. So it's like who's is the wait list? Usually the waiting list is for the software or the product to be ready. I think this waiting list is for you to die.
Yes. Waiting for you to be ready.
Right. Right. So I suppose I mean, we can get into it. Here's the thesis. The thesis is that this company has come up with a procedure in a non-destructive way to take your brain and freeze it in a way that it will not damage. So they inject this some sort of chemical into your brain that, as they put it, handcuffs the ends of your neurons together so they don't go all wiggly. Or whatever normally, I'm pretty sure that's the medical term.
Yeah, that was the exact technical term they used. Yes, yes, wiggly.
You don't want to go all wiggly.
Yeah.
Oogly woogly.
Yeah.
And importantly, they also inject your brain with literal antifreeze so that ice crystals don't form during the freezing process, which is something like, you know, they bring your tissue down to, I think it was negative 122 Celsius.
Yeah.
And cool. Yeah. And they have tested this in both a rabbit and a pig and a woman, but we can get to that in a second. But in the rabbit and the pig situation, they won
prizes.
Yeah, cash and prizes.
Totally. Yeah, and we were just like amazed to learn that not only is this a thing, that it's a contest.
Yeah,
you can enter and win, and you know, so if you're looking for some quick cash,
yeah. Non-destructively freeze a rabbit's brain, and you mm-hmm. too can be the recipient of $27,000 in cash and prizes. I think there's some Rice-A-Roni treat in there too.
Mm, yeah, like a lifetime supply of Rice-A-Roni.
So it is a San Francisco treat, which, you know, it ties into the Silicon Valley thing, I suppose.
Mm, I suppose it does. Yeah, and this is, they suspect this will be legal in California. So
yeah, so that's the thing. So they did it with a rabbit's brain. Apparently a bunch of people competed to do it most successfully with a rabbit's brain, and one team, I believe it was this team, but at least a team was dubbed the winner. They get the gold medal in rabbit brain deep freeze, and when they sort of unfroze it and looked at it with an electron microscope, there were, you know, sort of before and after pictures like you might see on a weight loss magazine at the checkout of this rabbit's neurons. They were like, yep, can't tell the difference.
Yep.
It looks just like it did.
Pretty cool. Nectomy is the name of the company, which we have not yet mentioned.
Yes, that's true. Yes, the Brainectomy. So They did it again with a pig's brain. Much bigger price for a pig's brain, $80,000.
Yeah, $80,000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Large mammal brain, and then they coordinated with some I guess doctor or morgue or something in Portland, and they have run this procedure on a human brain that had been deceased, sadly, for 2.5 hours. So I guess that is enough time for it to start to go all wiggly.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe they coordinated with a company that works with people who donate their bodies to science, is what I believe happened.
That makes sense. So they did that. They did their thing. They froze it. They unfroze it. They checked it out under a microscope, and they're like, yep, I mean, that's basically indistinguishable before and after. So,
yep, but 2.5 hours old is still too old, mm-hmm. but it's the same state that it was in at 2.5 hours after.
Right. So how do you think it would work if this is a product and it was 10 mm-hmm. grand, 10 grand to put your brain in the deep freeze, like the, you know, wasn't this like Futurama? There's like brains in jars everywhere.
Brains in jars. Yeah. Yeah. There's like Nixon and Leonard Nimoy and many others. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. So So like do you think this would work?
I think it would have to, well, I think it would work only in states that have death with dignity laws and allow physician assisted dying. And so I can see kind of going into a place like that and this just becoming like an additional service on top of that, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So
weird to think about.
Right. It's like, okay, well, I mean, this is essentially the plot of the Black Mirror episode that prevented me from, like, that caused my boycott.
Oh, it is. It is. Yes. Yes.
The San Junipero episode messed with me.
San Junipero. Yes.
And it's the old folks home. It was all, you know, the people there, they had this option. They could have their brain uploaded and pick the sort of
simulation.
Yeah. Simulation. I was thinking video game, but it's basically a simulation. It's the Sims. pick the one that you want, and you can even change it around once you're in there. Mm-hmm. And it was, and to the show's credit, the two main characters that you follow, like one of them's in there already, and the other one's a visitor. They're just sort of like a trial member.
Yeah.
And there's a debate about whether or not you should do, like whether or not it was a good idea. So in other words, everyone wasn't like, yeah, I totally want to do that.
Yeah, because there was this whole question of the spirituality sort of thing wrapped up in it, and whether are you really living on, or and do you want to do that, or are you going to like die a natural death and be at peace and move on to whatever afterlife there is, or are you going to do that anyway and a simulation of you is going to live on in this thing, or you know, how does all of that work?
Right. It's kind of like, I took it to be like, well, is this heaven, hell, or limbo? And and can you eventually opt out of it? It wasn't really, that was never made clear. But it was wild to imagine that. I could see it. I could see some people being like, no, I just want to be, as you put it, at peace. This is enough. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about it is you have to decide to kill yourself, which is a thing that, is in the, now see, in the show, that was the decision you were making. You weren't getting your brain transplanted into another body. So, you know, it was slightly different than what we're talking about here, and also different than the Altered Carbon book, because in Altered Carbon, you know, your brain goes in the deep freeze and then they put it in another body.
Right.
So you're still here, so to speak.
Yeah. And I would imagine that, like you said, you have to choose to die. I mean, maybe there could be some incidences where you say, okay, there's some kind of accidental death if they could get to you quick enough, but it sounds like that would just be an impossibility. And still, it's not like something you could say, oh, I want this to happen when I die, because, you know, live out a natural life. And by the time you're old and die naturally, you're just going to have some brain deterioration and things just due to the natural aging process that you probably don't want if you're going to be preserved for reboot later on, you know.
right. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, well, if I upload myself to the singularity, am I going to be like, you know, if, or if Ray Kurzweil uploads himself to the singularity, is he going to be old in cyberspace, or is he going to be like young, or like, does your body even matter? We talk about this, it seems like, all the time. Yeah. Like, if you take the body out of the equation, it's you're not human anymore. I stand by that statement. You're a consciousness, you're a being, but you're not human, because that's just not part of the human condition. Like, not having to worry about any, your body.
Right.
That's not part of it.
Yeah, but I do think your physical state, when you decide to sort of make this leap to the next level of, I wanted to say human evolution, but you're right, at that point you stop being human.
Yeah.
Whenever you go to make this sort of crossover, I do think the physical state of your, at least your mind, at that point matters.
Hmm. Sure. Well, yeah. To bring it back to Nectomy, it seems clear that that's the case, because they're not talking about. I mean, basically, they're saying like, look, we're going to freeze your brain the way it is, in hopes of being able to unfreeze it in 2045 when there's some cure for whatever you have, whether it's old age or cancer or tuberculosis.
Yeah, or we can just upload you or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe that's a possibility then, right? Like, we, at some point, there'll be something that we, some vessel that we can put your consciousness back into. Mm-hmm. Sort of raises the question, so in the book, and we've just barely started reading it.
Okay, I haven't started yet.
Okay, but the premise, even from the review that we just read, is that there's like, it's almost like, There's like a RAID 5. There's like a backup, a hot swap backup of your brain in your head. So as you're going along and experiencing things, it's getting saved. So you could have your head blown off pretty much, and they take the black box out of your head and they can put it in somebody else's body.
Yeah, it reminds me. Did you see the remake of Battlestar Galactica they did back in, like, I don't know, 2003 maybe?
No.
Okay. Yeah. No, the Cylons were like that. One would get killed, and then they would be their consciousness reborn into another Cylon, and there are a few instances where it's like, oh, they, you know, they weren't close enough for a node. There wasn't a backup we had to restore from a previous version. And and I think even the We Are Bob books sort of dealt with that a bit too, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Traveler. This happens in the show Travelers too, where, and that's
super... we're in common sci-fi trope land now.
Right. Right. You know, and it's rough in Travelers too, because, there's one particular character who's from the future, but they can send the consciousness back to a sleeve, as they call it in the book, but send it back into the body of a person living in the past. And she and another character kind of like meet there, then fall in love. Then she has to get rebooted to the time before she came back, and that just completely doesn't remember the dude. And it's brutal. It was almost like a version of kind of an Alzheimer's story, but everybody's young and it otherwise this, it's like still the same person. They just don't remember falling in love with the other person. It was like, oh, brutal. So here's the thing that keeps coming up. It's like, let's say you freeze your brain. Let's say that they can unfreeze it, and let's say, because this is a pretty big assumption, let's say that actually preserves your memories and values and beliefs and soul and all that.
Right, because we have no idea right now if that's... I mean, I don't think... By we, I mean us as a human race, not me and you specifically, because I know you and I have no idea. like, is that stuff stored physically in the brain? Or, you know, once the juice is gone, once the electricity is out, is it all lost?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it gets right... This is a core fundamental premise that is sort of probably the type of premise that a computer-y people would believe, which is that it's all chemicals, it's all mechanical, it's all electromechanical. It's like, there's no soul, there's no none of that. That's all hogwash. But, and I tend to be on that side of the fence. I tend to feel that way, but it is really... But would I bet my life on it? Nope. No, I probably wouldn't.
But it's like, are your memories, is your brain a big hard drive, or is it all just ephemeral storage?
Yeah, perfect example. When you run out of memory, like what happens?
Okay. Yeah.
Inside joke. Yeah. So, right. So even if you believe in the brain as computer analogy, right? Is it RAM or like hard disk? Tough to say. I mean, I would guess that it has to do with the configuration of your neurons, which is a physical thing. I would tend to believe that. It's plausible to me, but would I bet my life on it? Heck no.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, okay, so, but let's just say all of that works. It gets into the thing like, well, what am I? Just a collection of my memories? Maybe. Okay.
Maybe. I'm kind of okay with that, actually.
Yeah, I'm not, I mean, it's certainly, it's, I'm not sure what's wrong with it. I think some people, I suppose it gets into afterlifey stuff and like soul and reincarnation and I mean, it's like big stuff, but okay. So let's just say it works and say, okay, yes, it's like a hard drive. It's still there. We've shut the computer off. You turn it back on. Everything's still there. Okay. Well, where do I put it? So, all right. We've talked a lot about uploading it to the cloud, you know, just to the cloud or whatever. And all this, you know, you've got no body. So in the Bob books, there was like a really good, sort of chapter or two about the disembodied brain having to kind of have it slowly revealed to them that they have no body. Cause they like freak out.
Right. They had a psychiatrist sitting there and talking them through this process of coming to the realization that they have no physical body.
Mm. And the Bob spends a lot of time constructing a virtual reality that mapped to his prior existence. Mm-hmm. You know, like so much of his identity was tied up in like the way he looked and what the world felt like and his environment and his cat and his coffee and all those things that he needed to sort of recreate them virtually. Which raises a side conversation about like, well, how do we know that's not what we're in already? But okay. So let's say, so you get the scenario where you're just a brain floating around in cyberspace. Like, what do you do? You know, what matters? Why does anything matter? Like, if you can't die, who cares? It seems like boredom is the potential area, or like crushing depression, or
yeah, like did you just like float around in cyberspace for a couple of dozen years and then decide, I'm done with this, and delete yourself?
Boring. Yeah. Yeah. There's an artificial intelligence in, I think it's in Neuromancer, that is super powerful and extremely useful. But on a hard drive in a read only state. Mm-hmm. So every time they turn it back on, he's back to square one, like Groundhog Day. And he's still useful to the people who need to ask him questions. And so he can give the answers, but he is in a state of torture whenever he's conscious, because he's essentially can't evolve, can't grow. Right. And every time he's just like begging for them to destroy the hard drive. Like every time they bring him back to life, they're like, he's like, please kill me, please. You know, so you can, it's pretty easy to imagine that narrative being, imagine this train of thought, like ending up in that kind of a scenario. Like who the heck knows what would happen? Like what, I like to think that we'd just turn into like the most hilarious race of all time. Just like have the most hilarious jokes and best stories and stuff, and just sort of entertain each other that way. But that's a pretty optimistic viewpoint. I think that you could certainly have all kinds of just, every sort of depression and malaise and just, so like, how would you avoid that?
I wonder how that would work, since so much of your emotions, there's a chemical component to it as well.
Oh, good point.
Like without the dopamine.
Right.
Do you care?
Oh man, that's weird.
Yeah.
Does pleasure exist without the chemicals? Oh man. Or is it just the memory of pleasure?
It seems like it would be really unsatisfying.
Right.
Or would it, because those chemicals don't exist either. You're like the most apathetic.
Yeah. This kind of make, now all of a sudden you get bored. All of a sudden you're like, nothing matters. I'm just going to do the right thing.
Whatever.
Yeah. You turn into the meh emoji.
Yeah.
Right. Oh man. Okay. So let's go with the
downloading to a new body.
To a new body, right. Because then that answers a lot of those questions. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
You still have to maintain the meat bag. You're still human. You still have chemical responses to things. You're,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You sort of wake up like Doctor Who and you're like, all right, what did I get this time? And you're like, oh, okay. I'm female this time around. Or it is kind of
spoilers.
Like
spoilers.
Oh, come on. Who hasn't heard that?
Yeah.
I hope that wasn't a spoiler. Anyway, that's weird. Like we haven't read the books yet, so it's not clear to me. Like, how I don't think they take the other person's entire brain. So there must be some process of rewiring the brain of the person. But here's the thing. And I don't know how they answer it in this book, but where does the body come from?
Right. I'm sure it is answered in the book, but like, are they preparing a bunch of like cloned blanks?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Or is it criminals that have been sentenced to some sort of life sentence? Or
is it people who
happen to be nearby?
Yep. Or is it people who sold the rights to their body to, kind of like, this is a grim story. I don't know if I want to go into it. But I know people who knew that they were terminal and would sell their life insurance. There were people who would buy their life insurance. So in other words, I'm terminal. I'm broke.
So they get the money now.
So, right. So someone pays them to name them as the beneficiary, and then they've got at least money so they can, do some bucket list stuff. And then when they do eventually die, then this person who they don't even know really, but that bought into them, it gets the insurance paycheck, whatever.
That's grim, but I can see it happening.
Oh yeah, no, that's a real thing. Yeah, that's a thing. I think it might be illegal now, but there was a time when it was a booming business. So you could kind of imagine, somebody who's in bad financial straits being like, well,
Gotta feed the family.
So this is one approach. Talk about gift of the magi. Like, okay, I'll give myself 2 more years. I'll take $1 million. And in 2 years, I'll sleeve for somebody, well, what the heck? Maybe they've got their brain taken out and eventually they'll pop it into a different one later. It's like,
yeah.
It's so weird. It's like body hopping. But okay, it has to be, there's the economics of it I find fascinating because certain people would not be able to afford it.
That's true. They wouldn't.
I mean, I can't imagine that this would just be like something 7 billion people on planet Earth could do, you know, like covered by health insurance.
Right. I feel like at most you'd have to live 3.5 billion.
Yeah. It's like the 1% can body hop at him until they run out of money.
Right.
And the great unwashed rest of us are basically just like.
And meanwhile, the people that have made all this money from selling the service are also going to go and buy it themselves. And it just keeps feeding back into itself.
Yeah. And you'd want to choose your body, like the way you'd buy a car, like, oh, I don't want a clunker.
Right.
I want, like, you know, and then, okay, so what do you do? It's so gruesome. It's like, oh, what, like in Travelers, what they do is since they're from the future, the humans in the future can send their consciousness back into a body in the past. So that's how they can time travel mm-hmm. in that way. Like their actual body doesn't come into the past. So, but since they know the future, they know when people are going to die. So they send they basically, like, the person is about to be in an accident and die from it. So they kind of fly back in through time and kill the person essentially, but they were going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. they avoid the accident because they know.
Yeah. But they don't always have good information because sometimes they end up in drug addicts and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Sometimes they get sent to the wrong person. And then the weird thing is that they're subtly altering the past because that person was supposed to die and now they didn't.
Right.
And then they have to go home and like pretend that they're, you know,
that person
with their wife or whatever. And it becomes, I mean, I find that it adds a lot of drama to the show. I think that's actually kind of dumb, but like you wouldn't do that. You just take off and go do your mission. You wouldn't pretend you're still married to your wife.
Right.
So anyway,
you'd fake your death.
Right. Yeah, you would. So anyway, yeah, it just raises this wild question of like, well, where do they get the blanks from? I like the clone idea because that's kind of a theme. That's a common theme.
Mm, yeah. And it could just be a blank of yourself.
Yeah.
Like when you sign up for this and they're going to install your cortical stack or whatever they're calling it, they take some tissue samples and clone a version of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Boba Fett, man.
Yeah.
It's like,
I don't know, but we'll have to read the book to see how it actually does it.
Yeah,
just speculating on how we would.
Right. Yeah, that's obviously how we would do it. Make blanks. You'd have a backup. That would be so wild. But so if you did, but clone, you had to grow clones though. Like, hey, we've all seen Attack of the Clones. Like,
you'd have to like.
They don't come fully formed.
No.
So what do they do in the meantime? Maybe you could. Man, that gets weird fast.
It does. Yeah.
Like, where do you keep it?
Right. Talk about skeleton in your closet.
Skin bag in your closet. Mm. What is that? Oh, that's my clone. In case anything ever happens to me.
Yeah, it's my backup.
God, you should have a backup.
Just start doing like differential backups.
Oh, right. That's
like,
what
like
you could do.
Like a nightly sync.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, like iCloud. Hopefully it'll work better than iCloud. Oh, there you go. Oh, there's a story for you. Then your clone gets loose. Yeah, I don't want to be in this closet all the time and this goo.
Right, get me out of this goo, yeah.
Get out of this goo, you jerk. Oh, that's a cool story. There you go.
There you go, yeah.
Wild. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know where to go from here, but it's like, look, this is, it's like you said, this is a, seems like a common sci-fi motif. It's popping up more and more.
Mm. Seems, and people are winning prizes doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's money in it, evidently.
Yeah.
Wild. Well, we'll have to report back from the front.
Yes.
In 6 weeks. So, dear listener, please go out and join us. Read Altered Carbon so you don't have to skip episode 1 of season 7. I think it's feeling pretty good so far. I dig
okay,
it.
Okay, good.
I dig it.
Good.
So I think it's going to be good. And what else?
Do we want to pick a date? I know we usually do about 6 weeks, but do we want to actually like nail down a date?
Sure.
May 4th.
May the 4th. That's perfect.
May the 4th. Yeah, right. We'll be back on May the 4th.
Excellent. All right. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. On May the 4th, we will be with you.
Yes.
I've been going through all the Star Wars movies from episode one on. Mm-hmm. I like them a lot better now. I didn't love those first three movies when I first watched them, but they're not that bad.
Yeah, they're not that bad.
Yeah, it's fun to binge watch Star Wars.
Richard got him the big remote control BB-8 today.
It's so, that head is like magnetically attached.
Yeah.
That is so cool. I saw a video. Yeah.
The whole thing's like 20 inches tall.
Yeah, it's almost knee high. Mm-hmm. Very cool. All right, folks, let's leave it there for now, and we will see you on May the 4th to talk about Altered Carbon. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.